We all need to be focusing more on cyber resilience. And I don't actually think it matters which government you have in place. Businesses need to do very much more in that space because, as we continue to hear, cyber threats continue to increase. The pace at which they continue to increase is speeding up. It's not going to get any easier. And we always have to plan for the day, as we are doing at the ISF and as we are helping our members, to be able to respond to some of the attacks that will take place and ensure that we've protected the assets that we have in the company that are most important to allowing us to continue to do what we do best, which is serve our customers, serve our employees, and continue to grow and flourish.
You're listening to the ISF podcast for your organization's better cybersecurity. Your host, ISF CEO Steve Durbin, is an expert in leadership, business culture transformation, and cyber strategies for today's top enterprises. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. Today's episode was recorded in November 2024, following Trump's re-election to the U.S. presidency. Journalist Nick Witchell speaks with Steve about how Trump's famously unpredictable behavior may impact business confidence and the steps business leaders can take to insulate their enterprise from possible market changes.
Steve, I'd like to talk a little bit more about Donald Trump, and particularly Donald Trump in relation to business and cyber. But how particularly do you think businesses should be preparing for a second Trump presidency?
Well, I think one of the things that, if we look at business in general, business leaders are fairly adaptable people. We have to be, because the world changes so quickly. You know, agility really is the key to success in that space. So what do you expect from any incoming elected leader? Well, you hope for clarity. You hope for a very clear set of guidelines within which you can operate. You hope for removal of ambiguity. You hope for a reduction, I would say, in unnecessary regulation. The opposite of that, what slows business down, is an increase in regulation that is perhaps unnecessary and a lack of clarity. So I think that businesses will be hoping for that clarity.
Okay, well, we can say that Donald Trump is a businessman. He's made lots of money. But the one thing that I think even his supporters would concede is that he can be unpredictable.
Indeed.
Now, that can be a strength. You know, his supporters would say that it keeps his enemies guessing and all that sort of thing. But that surely is not a characteristic that businesses like. As you say, they want clarity and certainty. They don't want unpredictability in the White House. I mean, how concerning is that, would you say, to business?
I don't know that businesses are that concerned at the moment. I think quite the opposite. I think that the general mood, certainly from the chief executives I've been talking to recently, is that they're quite pleased with a number of things. They're pleased with the fact that there was a very clear majority in favour. The last thing that most people wanted was us to be dragged through the courts and the whole process to be long and drawn out. The fact that the Republicans now have control of Congress does open the door for them to bring in new legislation, regulations, should they wish to do so. Donald Trump tends to have sought out opinion from business very much more than some other leaders around the world. And I think that's another encouraging element. In terms of his unpredictability, I think he's pretty clear on what he wants to do in the United States. You know, we've had the slogans about Make America Great Again. Well, okay, so we understand his major direction of travel. I think where we're going to see perhaps a little bit more unpredictable behavior is outside of America, where he perhaps feels that he has the opportunity to influence global politics. And so I think if I were running a business within the United States today, I wouldn't be overly concerned, because I think that he's been very clear about the fact that he wants to make a big difference to the American economy. That's been reflected in the markets. Wall Street has viewed that very favorably. And so I think business confidence is probably much higher at the moment than we've seen for a little while.
Business leaders, as you've said, are pragmatic and they are adaptable. You've listed many of the positive aspects that we can read into a Trump presidency. Take us through the priorities that you would enumerate for business leaders. What in simple terms are the sort of fundamental steps that business leaders should be taking to, as it were, to Trump-proof themselves for the future?
I think if you're in the United States, then as a business leader, you tend to be, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, but you tend to be very much more short term in your views and outlook than perhaps, say, in the United Kingdom or in Europe. So you're geared very much more around monthly, quarterly returns, dividends, that kind of thing. So I think that means actually that you're very much more willing to be responsive to the way that a market changes because you have to be. Whereas outside of the United States, particularly in the UK, we tend to take a slightly longer view on things, which I think perhaps slows down some of our decision making. So what is it that we're going to look at? Okay, fine. We've got to look at whether or not there's going to be any significant change to the way in which we do business at the moment, or is it just as it was? We've got to look at the cost of doing business. By that, I mean resources, individuals, people. We've seen, I would say, an unfavourable business approach being taken to that in the United Kingdom. I don't think we're going to see something like that in the United States. So I would, if I was running a business in the US today, I'd be very happy with that. I think then you have to look at your supply chain. Where do you get your product, manufacturing and so on? If I was in the manufacturing space, I would be a little bit concerned, perhaps about some of the trade wars that might erupt. You know, he's been very clear on his beliefs with regard to offshore manufacturing. And so I think that I'd be taking another look at that from my standpoint if I were in that line of business. And then I'd probably be adopting something of a sit back, wait and see approach. Because I don't think that there's going to be any hugely major changes very, very short term. And bear in mind, I'm talking about, you know, within a quarter. And so given the fact that business leaders are used to operating on a quarterly basis, they have a little bit more time than perhaps we would have in the UK.
But he's made such a thing about tariffs.
Yep.
He will surely be under huge political pressure to enact that which he has said he will put into practice. And that the prospect of tariffs is significantly concerning to businesses, surely.
Well, it is if you happen to operate at a global level or your business depends on that. But I think one of the things we always need to bear in mind is that the United States is a very large country. And so a lot of the businesses that he's talking to are US businesses operating within the United States that they're not bulletproof, but at the same time, they're not as open to some of the impacts of these tariffs as perhaps UK businesses would be, for instance, where our dependence is very much more on external factors. And that, I think, is one of the key differences between the United States and the UK.
A new US administration raises concerns, which you've talked about. It also, of course, offers opportunities. Mm. Is this a moment, do you think, when business leaders should be lobbying for investment into greater cyber resilience?
I'm not so sure about the lobbying for greater investment into cyber resilience. I think that certainly focusing more on the need for cyber resilience is something that business leaders need to do. I don't know that I particularly want my government to be telling me what to do. So I very much like being able to run my business in the way that I think is best suited to my needs. I'm not a fan of nanny government. What I am a fan of is clarity in government, understanding from government, and allowing me to get on and do what I'm good at. So government's job, I think, is to set policy at the very high level, but then to step back and not interfere. And so I think that we all need to be focusing more on cyber resilience. And I don't actually think it matters which government you have in place. Businesses need to do very much more in that space because as we continue to hear, cyber threats continue to increase. The pace at which they continue to increase is speeding up. It's not going to get any easier. And we always have to plan for the day, as we are doing at the ISF and as we are helping our members, to be able to respond to some of the attacks that will take place and ensure that we've protected the assets that we have in the company that are most important to allowing us to continue to do what we do best, which is serve our customers, serve our employees, and continue to grow and flourish.
And perhaps amid the uncertainties, the lack of predictability, which I think we would concede is one of the characteristics of the incoming administration, is perhaps a moment for businesses to recommit to those core values of truth and trust and transparency and accountability.
I think it is. I really do think it is. I think that business has a huge role to play because people are desperately looking for some form of guidance, something to trust. And I think that business leaders have a relatively unique opportunity because, you know, we do have huge responsibility to the people that work within our businesses and also to our customers. And there's a significant opportunity, I think, in that to carve out a path that allows us to be viewed in a way that, yes, suits the needs of the business, but also fills this gap, if you like, in society for something that you can actually trust, something that people know you really do stand for and can get behind. And that, I think, is probably the opportunity that is there.
Steve, thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Special thanks to journalist Nick Witchell. We'll be back with a new episode next week. In the meantime, if you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast, and we'd be pleased if you'd consider sharing the episode. To become a member, get in touch with Steve directly at steve.durbin@securityforum.org or on LinkedIn. Check out all our media and resources. All of it is there to support you at securityforum.org. Don't miss our other podcast, Dear InfoSec, sharing conversations with members about the real-world applications of ISF research. The ISF podcast is produced by Talkbox Productions and Tavia Gilbert. Thanks for listening.